Okay.
Well, Ringmistress.
Yes.
What's the schedule of events here?
Well, we have, at the moment, it's just Kiri and myself. Everybody else has been a little bit on the slowpoke getting here.
A bit unusual, everybody.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we have one person arriving.
Come on?
Yes.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fire away.
All right, this evening, now that Omal's here, I can go over what my schedule of events is.
Okay.
One of them, anyway. Okay. Just working on, we've worked on a past timeline from human race. Up to, I believe it was the Roman period.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do tonight, if possible, is get started in on a future timeline.
Okay.
Of probable futures.
Mm-hmm. Now then, before I forget, regression time.
Mm-hmm. You being regressed, that is.
Yeah, so you want to try?
I'm always willing to try whenever you want to.
Ooh, promise. Yes. Anyway, future timeline. Certainly, we will let Omal handle that, of course.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
But being as you work closely with him on some of this stuff, I want to sit around and
have of course.
Some input as to
of course. Yes.
Okay. Some of this is going to be leading to the one answer that we were talking about earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And also on the other side of that, we're going to be looking at the no answer side.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, by establishing a timeline, we can watch the timeline as it goes down, and we can look for key points that will signal in one side or the other which way the timeline is going to go.
Okay. I think we better put on.
Greetings and felicitations, Omal.
Greetings,
how are you functioning?
I'm functioning fine. However, you owe me how many press ups?
Oh, 40.
Correct.
Hold on. If I don't do it now, we won't get it done. Promise.
Okay.
Can you pause the tape for a second?
Wow.
That in itself is a lesson in higher consciousness. What occurred?
Okay, taking it down from its root basics, I'm out of shape, but consciousness-wise, controlling your mind enough to where you can block out the pain or the tiredness.
That is irrelevant. You're missing the point totally. How many was the original number?
20.
No. Tonight?
40.
How many did you do?
26.
How many did I do for you?
11.
Now I did 14.
Oh, yeah, right.
14 and 26 is 40.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Can you share my burden?
Correct. That is a lesson.
Well, thank you. If you had not pointed out, I would have missed it completely.
You're welcome. you did the original 20 plus 6 extra, and I did the remaining 14 for you.
Yeah, you did the hard ones. My only 6 were the hard ones.
But it was shared. You would never have made the 40.
I would have. I would have done it after we got through with this. I got back to the 20.
Correct. But there is a lesson there. Sharing the burden is what?
Part of the leadership.
Also, the lesson is that on the higher consciousness, you must understand and show that you too can feel the pain. Feel the burn in the arms, in the shoulder. And also, it looks pretty good, but even if I do say so myself.
Oh, that's true. It's one time I wish we had a video camera handy.
Hand-eye coordination. Not only did I do the first 10, I did the next 4 clapping.
Yeah. But kind of reminds me of that night we went out camping. You know, we're sitting there and you stand up, you look up in the stars, you spot tall ship going across, point out some constellation.
I will let you in on a secret. Tall's ship passing was prearranged.
Oh, is that what it was? Well, I thought it might be something like that. Helson could have done it with tall ship.
Exactly. He had actually circled and came back. That is irrelevant.
Yeah.
But to share the pain and the suffering is not only an example of leadership, it is an example of sharing the energy.
Well, that's something you get from experience, from wisdom I've gained through many years of leadership and working with people and, you know, guiding them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that, you know, you can tell me 20 times, and I'll probably forget all 20, well, maybe 19. Remember that last one where it actually kicks in.
Now, you will remember this.
True. The sight demonstration was better than anything.
Correct. That is why it was done. Okay, let us answer your questions.
Okay. Well, I've got a few to go with, but like I was telling Tia, I want to start off with the timeline of coming up on future events.
Okay.
Now, of course, the future is mutable, and always the possibilities are that it won't stay the way it is. That's why I want to be able to have some key events to look at.
Giving the key events does not work. For the simple reason, let us lay that this way.
Okay.
You start off with civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
You start off with financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
You start off with large-scale civil unrest. Now, if we take the first one, civil unrest on a minor scale, mm-hmm. such as rioting in Los Angeles or in Indianapolis, what will happen is for certain that it will spread.
Mm-hmm.
That is certain.
The reason being that people see it as okay.
Correct. But here comes the problem. It could be remedied by numerous means. And therefore, the next events do not occur. What is one of the reasons for rioting?
Rioting is sparked, first off, by disillusionment with what's going on in the environment around you, combined with what you perceive as authority figures taking liberties that you feel are not within their rights.
Correct. So you remedy this, which in turn keeps people happy, which makes them more productive. So the stock market crash does not occur.
Right.
So you can have only one signpost that you can look for.
Hmm.
And that is the one that we have mentioned. The rest are uncertain due to the fact that their projections are ranging from 75% possibility to 85% possibility.
Hmm.
So therefore, there is that 25 to 15% margin of inaccuracy. So ergo, giving you pointers to look for along the way is all fine in words, but if they do not happen, that is because the initial symptoms have been dealt with and cured.
Okay.
Conversely, mm-hmm. if they do happen, it decreases the chances of the other ones following happening.
Hmm.
If they are not addressed, let us take a theoretical timeline with civil unrest, which has occurred or is occurring, followed by a financial boom, followed by a financial bust.
That all occurred.
The boom is occurring. Whether or not it busts is irrelevant at this point.
I thought that bust you had just a while ago.
Oh, that is mine compared to what is coming.
Oh, okay.
That is just a small dip in the spike.
Mm.
You have the financial bust.
Okay.
You have enlarged civil unrest directed at the central governments breaking down into areas such as Los Angeles rioting against their authoritative figures, which in turn puts a stress on the food chain, which in turn puts more stress on the people, which makes them riot even more. These are key factors that we can speculate on. But I myself personally would not put them in a timeline due to the fact that they are possibilities. A timeline is designed to look at the past, to analyze the future, remembering that certain factors occur in a cycle, not necessarily a precise cycle, but in a cycle that is noticeable. For example, 1892, there is civil unrest in the Balkan states. Fighting occurs, people are killed, it's quiet and stand. 1898, it flares up again. It continues for a couple of years and then fades away. 1912, it flares up again in the Balkan States, culminating in 1914 with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, son of the Austrian-Hungarian Emperor. Austria invades the Balkan States. Germany comes out in sympathy of Austria. For the Balkan states, in sympathy comes out Russia, France, and the United Kingdom. What do you have?
World War One.
Look what is happening at present.
Troubles in the Balkan states.
Correct.
Hmm.
So you see what I'm saying is that these cycles may be spread out over 100 years or 150. That is irrelevant. In the time scale of things, that is very insignificant, the length of time that is. So, therefore, it is necessary to look more closely and to see what was happening elsewhere in the world that led up to this problem. In 1892, there was a small financial depression in your country. 1902, I believe, there was another one, larger but not as bad. Again, there was another one in 1929, very large, infected the whole entire world. So what do you see?
That the problems in financial area happened between those times with unrest in the Balkan state, except for the first one.
Correct. But it is a curve. One precurses the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You have financial unrest in one place in the world, and a country that invests on a large scale tends to lead to withdrawing of money from the areas that are having difficulties, such as the Balkans. Another example, the Chechen Rebellion. That is not the first time that that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
It has been suppressed for many years, and it was kept quiet of an incident that happened in the late 50s. But you see what happened. There was a financial plummet in the mid-50s, not very big, but it was enough to cause a nasty jolt.
So the war essentially happened, and then the drop in the financial market happened afterwards.
Not necessarily. It happens that way, yes, but it can also happen another way. But you see what I'm saying about it being very difficult to draw a timeline into the future.
Right.
Because there are too many variable factors. You can take events that have occurred in the past, work out mathematically the distance between each event over a long period of time, if you take from the foundation of your country until the present date, and work out every financial fluctuation that has been termed a depression, you will come up with a cycle. You will be able to estimate within approximately 3 years the chances of the stock market failing. Again, if you take a timeline and work out in a particular area where there is civil unrest, again, you will be able to predict when that civil unrest will happen again with an error of plus or minus 3 years.
Okay. So we've only discussed two basic problems that would procure this collapse. Civil unrest, mm-hmm. financial. Isn't there more?
Yes, there is. There is volcanicity, which is a very much harder way of predicting what will happen.
It's more of a random factor.
No, it is not so much random. It is the fact that the periods of time are so long. For example, just down the road, what do you have?
We've got mammoth.
Correct. When was the last time that erupted?
10,000 years ago.
So 10,000 years is not a very long time in geologic scales. Correct. But if you look at more recent events, take for example...
Nelson Helms.
Correct. Excuse me, I will have to talk to her about that. But if you take the events of those occurring, then you can work out the occurrence of the activity of those volcanoes. Now, if you combine those three factors together, you can come up with a very rough prediction on what will happen. However, you have to factor in other factors and work out similar timelines and see how the spikes occur in reference to each other.
Well, what about climatic changes? It occurs less than the volcanism does.
That is also another factor. However, the reverse is true. If you're referring to somewhere like the Mammoth Mountain, you also have to factor in seismic activity.
Well, the two are connected only because Mount St. Helens going off creates so many clouds in the air that it cools down the planet temporarily.
Correct.
For, you know, delaying the global warming effect.
I wouldn't worry too much about global warming. Have you seen any evidence of that?
Well, currently, yes, as a matter of fact. I mean, heat waves in Chicago, New York, killing people, 400 at last count. That's something I haven't seen happen in my poor 35 years living on this planet.
That is something that you have to factor into your calculations.
And that's what I'm talking about, climatic conditions changing and causing drought problems affecting agricultural growth cycles.
Here is a little bit of information for you. Overall, your planet's temperature in the last 10,000 years has dropped 3 degrees.
Hmm.
That is a very large drop.
Well, what could account for this warming period we're having? Is that just a fluke then?
It could be a normal fluctuation. You have to remember there are such things as fluctuations. To get an accurate record, you would have to access somewhere where there is a record of what occurs on the amount of rainfall for a given period of time. You have to access records that would tell you how much growth occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you do that?
Anything.
There is somewhere much easier that you can do that. Instead of spending hours sitting down at a computer, you can do it much more easily.
Where? Ground sample?
Would you go and get me a piece of wood, please?
Sure.
Perfect. Look at the end. What do you see?
Rings.
There is your answer.
Oh, I see.
The more thick the rings are, the more growth. Ergo, more liquid. The thinner the rings, the less growth. Ergo, either a very long winter or a very long summer where there was not very much in the way of precipitation. So therefore, what can you conclude from all these factors being put together?
You can calculate the cycles of drought and rainfall to pretty accurate degrees for any area you happen to be residing.
With all the information.
Oh, put it all together?
Put it all together.
Then you can establish a very accurate prediction with, well, you've got a plus or minus factor of error, but of when you can expect the next drought, how that's going to affect the agricultural scene, where the problem is going to be coming because of that, mm-hmm. and know that your economic and social changes will happen because of that.
Correct. Now, how can you predict for a large-scale area? For example, the continental United States of America. It is no good going out there and counting the rings on that tree out there. That will only tell you what that tree has suffered.
Well, it's just the same thing, but on a larger scale.
Correct. You go, instead of selecting one tree in each area, because one area here at the lake may have a large quantity of precipitation, and yet just over the other side of those hills there may be a drought, or mm-hmm. over the hills there. So you have to pick a certain sample area, and you take samples from that area. Then you move on to, let's say you do in each state, 5 sample areas.
Mm-hmm.
Then you move on to the next state, which means what? Apart from a lot of footwork, which would be good for those leg muscles of yours.
Well, you get an accurate description of these areas.
This is also a lot of paperwork.
Well, you could do it all on computer through the internet.
Correct.
Because all this stuff has already been done.
Correct.
All you have to do is access the information.
Pull up the information, correlate it.
I mean, you check any almanac, and it goes back hundreds of years for the entire country.
Hundreds of years is but a blink of an eye. You have to go back further to factor that in to find out the cycle.
Right, they've done that too, though.
Yes, you have to go back thousands of years to factor in the cycle. Then you start the industrialization period of your country from 1641
mm-hmm.
until the present day. Economic growth, agricultural, and so on for that particular area. Further counting in religious trends within those areas.
Why religious trends?
Religious trends play a very important part in what is happening. For example, you take an area where the ethic is religion.
The Bible Belt?
The Bible Belt, exactly. What is one of the key factors that the Bible Belt is recognized for?
Morals.
And very hard working.
Oh, yes, of course.
So you have to factor in that and how much they endure and suffer. Factor that in with a libertarian period, such as what is occurring at the moment, and compare that with other events in the past. Again, you have to go to individual areas.
Right. Okay, now what I'm getting to in all this is, where does it lead up to as far as coming up with a solution? That's phase one. Phase two is deciding whether a solution is even needed due to the fact that if this was not to happen, the lessons to be learned by the population of the world due to an imminent collapse would be delayed.
Not necessarily. It could be that you are on the right path at present. There again, you may not be.
Well, yeah. There's no way to determine that. Unless, of course, you were to be able to take things that are happening on a worldwide scale, or at least even on a continental scale, and determine if, for example, those things are, you know, something you could have an effect on and make work to the advantage that you can see.
It is useful work to do. Whether or not it occurs does not matter, because it could be one of the factors that is splitting off, so therefore it could be in more than one timeline. More than likely it will be in more than one timeline.
That's true.
It is necessary to have the information, whether it is necessary or not. In one timeline, it is not. In another, it is. When that occurs, you take that information with you into that timeline. One timeline, you need it. One timeline, you don't.
Oh.
The question is to perceive it as necessary wherever or not it is irrelevant. Is besides the point.
But you did it.
That you have learned.
Right. Okay, I want to take an example. And let's say I was to get the constant energy machine going, the perpetual energy machine, to where we always have free, unlimited power. And let's say I invent that. And it goes worldwide. Creates an economic boom, an energy-rich society that isn't dependent on fossil fuels and nuclear energies, and people's work that goes up because they don't have to pay as much for things, and they can spend it on other things now instead of, you know, expensive stuff like energy. Taxes go down, and the world becomes a wonderfully beautiful place. Or, on the reverse side of that, let's say I invent that, it goes out, and let's say the military takes complete control of it, uses it strictly for their own use, and restricts its use anywhere. Therefore, creating a, you know,
feeling of resentment.
Right, feeling of resentment, plus, you know, a new kind of nuclear threat, let's say, that wasn't there previous to this, because it's not nuclear, so they can destroy large cities or something without having to have all the radioactive waste afterwards. So it's the,
yes, that is
the Cold War all over again.
Those are two examples of possible avenues that could occur. It is necessary. Excuse me for 1 second, please.
Okay.
That is better.
Okay.
It is necessary to analyze all possibilities. Your example of a perpetual energy machine is but one key that could occur or could not. It is necessary to remember that all possibilities can occur on timelines. So therefore, it is necessary to sit down and analyze with the help of information as much as possible that you can gather, to analyze information. By doing this, you can analyze what will occur and predict what possibly will happen.
But even so, let's take that back to your last theorem that you gave me, in which, okay, in one, you need that information, and in one, you don't. But how could you possibly know, even with all the information you could gather, that what you've done is going to affect the future positively, if that's what your goal is, even with all that information? I mean, there's still variable factors that could be entered in that you're still taking a chance.
Exactly. The more information you add in decreases the amount of error. The ones that we have named are just but a few. If you wish me to name more.
For the sake of record. No, we've got that already on record. We've gone through this before.
We have not gone through health. We have not gone through productivity. We have not gone through sunspot cycles. We have not gone through the effects of meteors on your planet. We have not gone through the fact of population growth, population decrease, birth, death, marriages, and so on.
You're right.
You have to
all of
these events.
Oh, okay.
You see, you can think of 10 possibilities. 10 subjects to discuss. But that is just the tip of the iceberg. If you were to ask Tia on what extent she covers on her fields, you would be surprised on how much she does cover. It is hard for her. That is why she has a staff. And that is why, at the moment, it is necessary for her to take some entertainment.
Okay. Now, wouldn't it be something that you could just then get percentages of? Like, for example, let's say I invent this machine. Now, all right, better yet, let's take another. Let's say it's Tia working on this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she has, you know, our world collapse estimated out at 2.3, let's say, 3.9 years. Okay. Then, all of a sudden, let's say I come up with this machine. She has to change her factors around and say, well, now that will happen only at a 35% possibility now,
correct,
compared to 95% possibility it was prior to that.
Right. And it is not a total world collapse.
It's a North American collapse.
It is a little bit wider,
okay,
but not much.
Hmm.
But it is a domino effect that will affect to a lesser or greater extent other places.
Okay. But now, back to my second phase, which was in... If this does happen, then we see the changes necessary to push man to his more conscious limits, to the total conscious limits, to put him on to fifth dimensional Earth, to evolve to that point.
No.
You're saying he would regress because of these changes?
No. I'm saying that he would not go to a fifth dimensional Earth.
Sixth dimensional Earth.
That was better.
Yeah, right. Okay, so would there, you know, you have to factor that in too. Do you want to do something that could change all that? And again, we come back to the point of, well, yes, you made the effort.
Correct. But you also have to remember that it may be a key. It may not be. It could be. That is something that is necessary to remember, that all possibilities that can occur will occur. And therefore, that would lead you down an avenue that would give you the opportunity.
I get it.
Therefore,
right,
nothing is good and nothing is bad. Everything serves its purpose.
That's right. You can throw as many keys as you want until you're blue in the face. As to whether any of them do anything, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
Because of the fact man will evolve
sooner or later.
Sooner or later, right. And so... he will gain those lessons if the world does not, or
if it does, or if it doesn't, is besides the point.
Right.
But it is necessary for the survival of the species to plan accordingly, mm-hmm, take into account every possible eventuality, analyze the information, project what may occur with the certainty of never more than 95%, which leaves 5% of error. Leaves the proverbial spanner to be slung into the works, or wrench, as you would call it.
Right. Nice.
You have to remember that wild card factor.
I like to be a wrench.
Okay, let us move on to the next subject. I believe it is 21, 50, and a little bit.
That's correct. Okay. Now, we have a thing now with the have and have nots,
mm-hmm,
to where that difference between the two are widening. Now, are we going to be seeing that key that we're talking about and possibly lessening that gap that's currently there? Is that what part of that's the solution we're looking for here?
It is a tricky area to discuss.
Because we're going into gray areas.
Correct. It also factors in information that has been worked on.
Mm.
You have to remember, nothing is set in stone. The haves and the have-nots are in those positions because of what has occurred in the past. So therefore, the envy of the have-nots to the haves can be a friction. However, it can also be a lubrication for the have-nots to try to achieve by means necessary to become the haves.
Mm,
it always occurs that you have the have and the have-nots. It occurs as regular as night and day.
Interesting. People make their own choices, so they have put themselves in those positions to learn from the most.
Correct.
So all of that is perfect. Whether it has anything to do with what happens is, you know, perfect.
Is what is planned and happening to the prescribed procedure.
Right. Because that's all outside of us. The key is ourselves.
Correct.
And our evolution.
Correct.
Okay. One thing I was looking at was, no matter what happens, whether the collapse comes or does not come, we would be seeing events that would bring about global cooperation.
That is a possibility that needs to be looked into and speculated on.
Okay. Because when we factor in all those things that you mentioned, sunspots, etc.,
mm-hmm.
Many of those things taken as a formula would bring about a solution or a collapse. It doesn't matter.
Because it is necessary to learn from one or the other.
Right. Okay. But before I go off on too much farther other stuff, I wanted to find out if we could discuss the divas while we still have time.
Let me check your recording device, as our ring mistress is being frivolous.
Again?
You have approximately 10 minutes on this side.
Okay. Would that be enough then to...
On this side, yes.
We'll just go to this side then.
Okay.
Hold the rest off for later.
Correct. Devas, the entities that are.
Mm-hmm.
They are descended from an ancient species that have always been shy. They like company. They like things just so. To them, time is irrelevant. 100 years for a diva to sit in one place is like you sitting there and thinking for 30 seconds.
Hmm.
So therefore, their long projection is their understanding.
Hmm. Do they exist now in other worlds also then?
They inhabit other timelines because they arrived at certain points where there were splits.
Hmm.
When a world split, they happen to be on that world. Where the colonies were originally set up, they were there because they came with the first ships.
Okay.
So therefore, they inhabit all the timelines where there were Atlantean colonies.
Oh. Do they interact then on a conscious level with humans?
Yes.
Okay. They can appear... Well, they don't appear, do they?
Correct.
They have no form.
They are a consciousness.
Okay. Together they make up a singular consciousness? Or are they all individual?
They're all individual. But they can make up group consciousness.
Okay. So they can communicate
with each other.
Okay. No matter the distance.
Mm-hmm. If you remember back to our camping trip, we asked you to do what? When you were ready to leave. Make an offering.
Make an offering, yes.
And that was not for the divas in nourishment for them. It was for the animals that lived around.
That the divas are responsible for.
Not responsible.
Look after.
Enjoy their existence.
I see.
You see, divas cannot affect things on a physical level. They are more echoes of consciousnesses, would be a better way to describe it. It is like looking at a picture for you. You enjoy the beauty. For divas, looking at the animals and the trees growing in, let's say, a meadow is enjoyment. They have passed beyond the point of needing nourishment for the physical. They have passed beyond love. They have passed beyond the need for
physical pleasures. The thing that they enjoy most is the beauty around them. That is of a spiritual level.
Would we say that they then are of even higher consciousness than, say, Sananda?
Yes and no. Because they have time, that puts them higher than Sananda. But because they are earthbound, meaning they are confined to their area and do not look beyond the future, they are much lower.
Mm.
They can be both multidimensional and dimensional on one plane only.
So this is not the final evolution of the human species we're seeing.
It is a possibility.
Oh, it is. I say, because as humans, we're always looking toward the future anyway.
Mm-hmm. The divas once did.
Okay. How do we affect the divas in their consciousness?
Go and get yourself a chainsaw and you will see what effect you have.
Well, how can we tell the effect? Unless you were completely sensitive to what a diva feels, all you wouldn't even hear the pain.
Here is another way. Take Mark's lighter and burn your pictures.
Which pictures?
The ones in the room out there.
Well, I see. You won't hear the pictures go.
But you will feel the loss.
Right.
The feeling of loss will remain an echo. Your experience of loss, your hurt, the loss of your favorite pictures will be always with you. The loss of their favorite trees and their favorite lakes and ponds and fields and meadows and hills will always be with them.
Mm-hmm.
It is the loss that they feel. Have you ever wandered through an area where it has been clear cut and the feeling of loss and sadness there?
No, thank God. I wouldn't want to.
But that is what would be experienced. The quietness, the lack of sound, just the wind blowing over the stumps and the remains of once living trees. However, divas will take great pleasure and enjoyment on seeing a dead tree cut down by man, because that tree no longer is beautiful, it no longer serves a function. It is an eyesore, a fire hazard which could destroy their land even more. However, fire can also be a purpose that will bring them harm, because they know that within 50 to 100 years, new life will be in that area, where an area is clear cut and then buildings are put on it, never be beautiful again to them, because it is not natural what comes after.
Mm.
After maybe 500 to 1,000 years, they may find the area beautiful again.
Well, they don't have any sense of time, so that 500 to 1,000 years is but a blink to them.
Correct. But also, each second can be 1,000 years to them.
Hmm.
Time to them is a slippery concept.
Well, have they moved on to six-dimensional Earth, a few of them? Or will they?
We do not know at this time.
Oh. Okay. So, that's why it's helpful to be able to work with the divas.
Yes.
Because you get reciprocal results back from that.
Yes. For example, if you were to go out and to clear cut all the trees in this neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
there would be the overwhelming feeling of loss for the divas, which would pester you, which would hurt you, which would make this area no longer beautiful to you. You would not be happy. You would move to somewhere else and you would still feel unhappy, because what if you've done. You have destroyed not only a habitat of many different animals, but you have also upset
numerous devas. Now, how can we become more sensitive to their feelings and communicate with them? Or is there an ability to communicate with them?
It is very hard to achieve. Even for us, it is hard. Because they look at things in a different way from us. Remember, to them, time is irrelevant.
Would they be able to even comprehend any language whatsoever except for emotions?
It is unlikely.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if maybe they move faster or slower than we do.
Both.
Faster and slower.
Yeah. You have to remember that to them, 1,000 years is but a blink of an eye.